You're listening to a Frequency Podcast Network production in association with City News.
If you look into the crisis in Canada's healthcare systems, you'll learn it comes down to basically one thing. We need people. We need highly trained people, and we need them quickly. Doctors and nurses who have given all of themselves through 2 years of this pandemic are leaving the profession. Not only are we still battling COVID, we also have an aging population, and long-term care facilities are desperately understaffed. And of course, we now have ICUs and emergency rooms running on skeleton crews and, in some cases, not running at all. If only there were thousands of doctors and nurses who were as desperate to work in those long-term care facilities and ERs and ICUs as we are to get them in there. Oh, wait.
Today, Sylvia Jones, the new Minister of Health, who has been heavily criticized for not publicly addressing the issue earlier, issued these directives to the College of Nurses and the College of Physicians, giving them 2 weeks to develop plans to register internationally educated nurses and doctors as soon as possible.
We're throwing everything in the kitchen sink at this.
Acknowledging the problem and finding a potential solution is a good start, finally. But there's not actually much in that ministerial directive except figure it out. So why has that been so difficult? Why has it been so hard to register international doctors and nurses in Ontario for the past 2 years? Or the past 10 or 20 or 50 years, for that matter? Why can other countries do this, yet we can't? What does that regulation process look like right now? Well, come with us today on a journey to where governmental and medical bureaucracy meet. As you might imagine, there are an awful lot of tests and forms and fees, and not a lot of actual medicine being practiced. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Dr. Shafi Bouyan is an assistant professor at the Dalhousie School of Public Health. He is an internationally recognized leader in global health training, research, and education. And he is a founder and sits on the board of directors of the Canadian Association of Global Health. Hello, Dr. Bouyan.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for joining us today. It's an important time to discuss this. Let's start with what's happening right now. How badly are more healthcare workers needed here in Ontario, but also across Canada? Like, how bad is this?
So healthcare need is increased in Canada over the period of times. On the other hand, our workforce is decreasing. It's a clear imbalance. Why is that? Because of we have an aging population and we have a demographic shift. Mm-hmm. We need more healthcare services. But in contrast, our healthcare labor force is decreasing. Example, about 13 to 15% nurses is leaving the job. If we talk about the long-term care, the staff shortage is just obvious. So therefore, we have a serious issue now in Canada, in Ontario. Bottom line is we are below standard of the G8 countries if we compare with other countries. And we spend the same amount of money Japan spend, like 10% of GDP, but our health system outcome is still in crisis. So therefore, I'm hearing outcry, I'm hearing frustration of the health professionals, and there is a real crisis there. Problem is there, we just need to acknowledge, and we can find a solution, of course.
Well, let's start with one of the potential solutions. The Ontario government in particular is looking at ways to increase the number of healthcare workers quickly. And this has a lot to do with licensing internationally trained workers. How fast are they proposing to do this and what changes are they looking at?
So historically, if you study last couple of years, underutilization of international health professionals is obvious. In Canada, 25.5% immigrants health professionals are working in Canadian healthcare sector. 47% of the total internationally trained health professionals are sidelined. Only 41% nurses trained from abroad is working. In contrast, if we compare with the nurses and the doctors, very limited number of the doctors are working the family practice. If I give you an example, 25% of the family physicians working in Canada is internationally trained physicians. WHO mentioned that over the few more years, the world will be in serious crisis, like 18 million healthcare workforce in shortfall. Well, USA, UK, Australia, New Zealand, as attracting internationally trained physicians and health professionals, we are a little bit behind of this race.
Why are we so far behind?
That is several factors working here. The process and the complexity makes it really delayed. It is our system which is built or in place 50 or 100 years ago. But over the last 50 years, as I said, demography shift and then aging population increase, all these things, but we are not updated our system to incorporate this extra health force, which is already is here. And our politician, our healthcare leaders, and the associations should work together to find the solution. Ontario Health Force need to be restructured, and how we should recruit, how we should keep these people to keep working. And that's why the process of licensure or certification we need to address, because these skilled, experienced health professionals are not utilized. If you want me to go through how the process works, then you will understand easily is a process we need to reimagine, refocus, or readjust to make it happen, to bring this workforce in the system.
I want to get you to do that in 1 minute. First, I want to make a point here, though, because you mentioned it to me before we began this interview. You yourself are an internationally trained physician, but you chose not to go through the process here in Canada. Why?
Yes, this is very interesting. You know, I'm not only one person. If you think about the overall, maybe 15,000 or 13,000 internationally trained physicians here, about 60% is not interested to go to this route, because it's complex, it's a cumbersome, and it's not so easy to move on. That's why many of ITMDs or ITPs or IMGs, whatever acronym you use, are not ready to go. But 40%, at least, they are interested, and we are witness that they also cannot achieve the goal due to the complexity of the process.
Let's talk about the process then in detail, because I think this is what people don't understand when they hear Ontario's education minister, just for instance. I know other provinces are considering this too, talking about, you know, streamlining the process. We need to get these highly trained doctors, nurses, et cetera, working into hospitals. You instruct these students in your day job. So tell us, let's say I've arrived from Bangladesh, where you came from, or from another country that has a surfeit of doctors and nurses. What do I have to do to be able to work in Ontario?
Very, very good questions. When you landed as an immigrant, they must go through the CPSO. When I say CPSO, it means the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario. The candidate must meet the following criteria. Number one, the degree they acquire, they should be acceptable according to the WHO recognized organizations. They should pass the MCC, Medical Council of Canada exams. And after that, they have to certify it by the Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons or the College of Physicians of Canada, CFPC. Then they can apply for this process. And the completion of this 1 year postgraduate training or 2 year residency is mandatory before the practice, and you have to have a Canadian citizen to do that. So if I go one by one more detail, so if you have a degree in outside Canada, which is accredited by the World Directorate of Medical Schools, then you should go for source verification. And source verification could be done by physicianapply.ca. Once you do that, then you are eligible to apply for your Medical Council of Canada qualifying exam. And you apply for the qualifying exam, and then you should be sitting or waiting for MCCQE1. It means that Medical Council of Canada qualifying exam part one. Luckily, Canadian system eliminate the MCCQE2 exam in last June 2021. Mm. It's made a little bit easier, but this LMCC designation, you need to pass this exam with high score, and then you have to go to other exam like the Royal College of Physicians to qualify your designation. And you have to obtain CFPC, it means College of Physicians of Canada accreditation. To do that, you have to go through the certification from RCPC, or you have to do the family medicine exam so that postgraduate training, et cetera, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
After that, CPSO asks you to have a one-year active medical practice. We call it residency of practice to prove. And then you can apply for residency for 2 years. And that is the hurdle for many immigrant health professionals, because this matching is done by Canadian Resident Matching Services. And if you want to apply, you have to have three criteria. Again, the same thing, you have to be approved medical school, which is you study. You have to have a proof of language proficiency in English or French. And you have also have a qualified exam and Nakoski exam done. Once you have those things, then you have to wait for the interview by the each medical school. So for your residency things, here is the interesting thing. You need to think about, I finished my MCQE1 and Nakoski exam, but it's not guaranteed you will get it. Because when you go for interview or selection process, high score on MCC's exam is required, and professional practice experience is required. Past performance in the medical school is need to be proven. Excellent communication skill, a couple of reference letters, complete the professional CIRM application process fully, and interview performance should be high. So all these factor, if you are successful enough, then you can be accepted for residency by the CPSO registration process, and you can work as a physician. But if I want to just summarize these things, I know it's very long and detailed. First, as a physician, you came to this country, you have to source verification process, which cost you money, $500 to $600 or more money. Next, you have to go to mandatory licensing exam, QE1, Nakoski, which costs $3,000 to $4,000. Mm-hmm. Then you have to wait for interview for Ontario Provincial Match or other match program. Also, you have to apply and you have to pay money, $350. Plus $50 for each program. So you have to practice it with some agency organizations, $1,000 or $2,000 you need to spend for preparation of these things. If you got lucky, then you will get it. Imagine you have 2,000 people apply and only 200 people get accepted. And 2020 was the luckiest year, 418 people was accepted, and then on the other word, the Canadian graduate, almost 2,895 Canadian graduate were recruited. So you could imagine 200 to 400 graduates, ITPs, recruited from the pile of 2,000. And on the other hand, from the 3,000 people, they apply from the Canadian graduates, they got 2,895. So this is a system issue here. But there is this, I'm always hearing from my students, there is a hidden criteria, such as most program preferred the fresh graduates. It is not mentioned in the description, but there's a trend that obvious special, especially the specialists like psychiatry, neurology, all sorts of things. So that's what I think you and your listener all understood. The process is there, but it's not fair to the international trained physicians who has lot of wealth of experience, but is not utilized.
Ah.
I understand the need to make sure that internationally trained physicians are properly equipped to practice medicine in Canada. So obviously there needs to be a licensing process. Yeah. But what you just described sounds incredibly taxing. And, you know, let's be serious about this. These are immigrants coming to Canada from another country. Often, I am assuming they have families to support. I don't know how they can spend all that time and all that money while also supporting those families. Like, what are we talking about at the end of the day here in terms of time and money just to get through this process if you are lucky enough to be accepted?
Oh, yeah. So usually, if you are new to Canada, it takes a couple of years to understand the process because there's not a direct, clear pathway who can direct them what to do, where to go, what to do. There's a, first of all, they get lost. And is they also, second is they're discouraged by the other peer group because they have a bad experience. They just have this experience they shared, they got frustrated.
Right.
And imagine, as you can remember, there is a clause or there is a essential needs of recency of practice. Imagine I am here for 2 years, 3 years, and to understand the process, and I passed the exam, but I was not called for interview because I lost the recency of practice. So it's not making any sense. You are Canadian, you are here, they're asking me, last 1 year, your recency of practice, but I'm here for 3 years or 13 years, but how can I have a practice experience? Because you never give me the opportunity to do that.
How does this compare to our peer countries? You mentioned Japan. I know you've also worked in Japan. How is it different in other countries?
So imagine the UK, USA, Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, all the country, they are well advanced than us. And they have an open exam system. So anybody can go and sit their exam. Like in the US, you can stay in Bangladesh and you can write your ESMLE 1-2 exam. And you got approved and you apply for visa and you go and you for license. And it's same the UK, same the Australia. But we are the Canadian, we are the different. We call it Canadian style. You are here and you apply and you are not accepted. That is the difference between our G7 or other OECD countries. So our system is not straightforward. And even in the COVID, the USA, UK, they expedite the process. So once you have a qualified exam done, then you come and join us. They're calling, open call. But we Canadians are struggling and our system is still closed the door. But our ITMDs or ITPs are looking for the window because all doors are closed for us. If you have the system in place, I think these people are brilliant. These people are Canadian. They are our taxpayer. They should have an equal opportunity to get in. Above and 50% of the citizen of this country is immigrant. So, but only 25% immigrant physicians are able to work in the system. That's why we are also creating another problem, how we can provide the culturally respectful services to the immigrants that are coming, they deserve, and the equity deserve population. They're looking for a physician. They're not getting physician. In having this kind of crisis, I think we should be serious now.
Just so I understand this correctly, the Minister of Health in Ontario and other hospital executives have not yet made any changes. They've just urged people to get to the table and solve this. Is that what's going on right now?
I just give an example. We wrote a letter to the Minister's office. We are open to talk to you, to consult, to suggest, to support you, but we haven't heard anything yet. Hmm. I know they are very busy. But we already propose three things. So immediately we can solve this issue.
Run me through that solution if you don't mind.
Yes, okay. So we propose the 4,500 internationally trained physicians in Ontario is waiting for government directions. And our coalition make a 3-point measures to solve this issue. Number one, implement practice ready assessment in Ontario. We call it shortly PRA in Ontario. In Canada, most of the province, they have this program, but we don't have it. We need to have a process to start this model from the Medical Council of Canada. They should enable the ITPs to be assessed in 3-month period of to ensure that they meet the competency and safe practice standards. They can apply their skill and training to help backlog of long waiting time. PRA has been implemented 7 other provinces, and it's the time to do in the same in Ontario. Number two, We proposed expand access to postgraduate medical education and residency training for ITPs in Ontario. By increasing access to residency seat and postgraduate medical education position for internationally trained physicians in the province, these doctors can meet licensure requirements and fully contribute their experience and training to the healthcare workforce. Number three, enable pathways, as I said before, for ITMDs to practice clinical assistant under the supervision of the limited practice licensure under the CPSO, enabling qualified internationally trained physicians to practice clinical work as assistant on the pathway to full licensure would allow them to immediately join the healthcare force. Establishing and standardizing this occupation is in Ontario will provide a meaningful stepping stone for internationally trained physicians to re-enter their profession. So therefore, I strongly urge the minister and the leaders, we have a long-standing barriers preventing our qualified, experienced professionals from contributing to the ongoing healthcare crisis. Let's work together to create a level playing field for all so that Canadians will get the service what they need, the internationally trained physicians will get the job what they're seeking for, and the health professional, healthcare leader, and politician can say, we did it. So it's a win-win situation. Let's do it together.
Dr. Bouyan, thank you so much for this. I really hope we get some movement on this, and quickly.
Yes, our survey, public opinion, clearly in favor. 80% of the Canadians are comfortable to receive care from health professionals, those who trained abroad. And 83% of Canadians agree they should be in place to support our healthcare system. I have no hesitation to request the government, the politicians, the leaders, the associations, please, let's come together, work together, and together we can make it happen. And it will be eventually a win-win situation for Canadians, for the health professionals, and for politicians. Then we can say, together we did it. And I know Canadians are passionate, and they are positive, they are optimistic, and I'm thrilled to make it happen.
Let's heal three birds with one stone. Thank you, Dr. Bouyan.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Shafi Bouyan is an assistant professor at the Dalhousie School of Public Health. He is an internationally recognized leader in global health training, research, and education. And he is the founder and sits on the board of directors of the Canadian Association of Global Health. That was The Big Story. For more, head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. Find us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. Email us anytime, hello@thebigstorypodcast.ca. And call us. The phone number is 416-935-5935. We won't answer, but you can leave a message. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.